Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
We're coming up out of the first break this morning, Thursday edition, Bill King Show. Berg will be with us in about 15 minutes. Chris Landry, the brilliant football mind of Mr. Chris Landry, top of hour two. And Brian Driscoll, regarding Notre Dame, Wisconsin in Chicago Saturday. He'll be with us top of hour three. He was scheduled for yesterday. If you recall, we had a little minor incident where on my end, I got knocked off the air. And it started, well, it happened twice, actually. It happened, what, hour two coming out of the Blake Ruffino interview. It happened there late in that interview. So we got 99% of him in. We reconnected almost immediately coming out of that break on Wednesday, and then towards the top of the hour, transitioning to hour three, where we had Brian Driscoll scheduled, I got knocked off again. And that did not get rectified until late, literally the last segment of hour three. So sent him a message, asked if he could come on today, same time, and he said he could. So Brian Driscoll is with us from Sports Illustrated, covers Notre Dame. And I've got that game, like I told you, I've got that game in the two slot, only behind Arkansas and the Aggies. The F&M Bank Hotline, 615-844-5600, if you would like to dial us up this morning, on Twitter, at Bill is King, and email the show, billisking7@gmail.com. Various ways you can get in touch with the show from the Wilco Strike and Spare kiosk locations. We've been out here 5-6 years, however long it's been since we have been not in the main studio, the WNSR main studio where we launch this show every day, where Pat and Cook is, where we launch every day the next show. And it's been a pleasure. No, been a pleasure the entire time. What's going on out there? We've got week four games we'll be talking about, obviously, and various topics that go along with those. But they're meeting again about the future of the playoffs. And I told you for years, and I mean many, many years, that they're going to expand, and they are. And I told you that it's going to be sooner than later. That has taken a little bit of a hit, that last portion of it, perhaps because of the Oklahoma-Texas news. Basically, what the Oklahoma-Texas news has done has made other leagues like the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the ACC, say, you know what, we may not cooperate just because. We don't really have a valid reason because we really do want to expand, but we're just going to do this because kindergarten playground rules dictate that sometimes you just have to take a stand and you really don't have a reason for it other than we're just going to do it this way. This is just the way it's going to be. We're in charge of our situation and we're not going to cooperate. Now, let me also reiterate, I'm not Mr. Expansion Guy. So when I say they don't want to cooperate, I'm not necessarily taking a stand there and being critical. I'm just telling you that's the attitude that we're currently involved in, the childish attitude. Frankly, I don't want them to expand. Never did. But I have told you, using that term again, frankly, they're going to expand. And they still are going to expand. Now, is it going to happen as quickly as I thought? Maybe not, because of this crossroads we're at with the leagues staring each other down, flexing in the mirror, staring each other down, seeing who can be the biggest and the baddest. And it's basically an anti-SEC sentiment. So where we're at, they're meeting right now, further discussing this. And what happened originally was you had Greg Sankey, the SEC, Bob Bowlesby, Big 12, Jack Swarbrick, Notre Dame, and the guy with the Mountain West, Craig Thompson. I forget his name. Yes, Craig Thompson. They met privately for a year or two about expansion and really didn't let anybody else in on it. And that 12-team model was trending, and it probably still is, once we can get past the childishness. And where we're at right now is you've got an 8-team model versus a 12-team model. And the SEC is for the 12-team model, and so is Notre Dame. If they vote for an 8-team model, if they put up a vote for it, the SEC and Notre Dame won't even vote for it. So that's their line in the sand, and right now you've got others that don't want to vote for the 12-team. And that's the crossroads we're at. And Sankey was quoted, and I'm not going to get the quote exactly right, I'm just going to paraphrase, something like, in these meetings, if everybody has to absolutely get everything that's on their Christmas wish list, then we're not going to get this done. And that's where we're at. We've just got a lot of petty fighting going on. And when I do want to, some people are going to take my angle here wrong. I am not defending, per se, the 12-team expansions. I'm not at all. I'm not for it. But I know it's coming. That's where we've been at for many years. I told you before 2014, first year we had the playoffs. Now, all we've got is how much more? Once you let the genie out of the bottle, you cannot put it back in. And that's where we've been at for, oh, 7, 8 years or more. And I told you that. And so when I criticize the pettiness of this, it's not like I'm saying, go ahead and everybody vote and let's get this expansion going. That's not where I want to go. But that is where it's going. Regardless of this pettiness, they will expand. Because what rules at the end of the day? The money. Yeah, the money is the boss. Always has been, always will be, and that will determine expansion when they do expand. The only question, despite all these folks, all these articles you're reading, people are in Dallas reporting on this, and the back and forth, and the disagreements, and all that, and you can read all that. It's interesting, but if you choose not to read it, that's okay too. Because at the end of all of this, they're going to expand. The only question we still have is when. Now, it would have happened much sooner. Might have happened as early as a year or two from now, until the Texas-Oklahoma thing took the Earth's tectonic plates and made them rub so aggressively that it's got everybody in a snit. That's where we're at. That has what derailed the momentum. It's still going to end up in the same spot. We just don't know when. And that would have been sooner than later. Now we may have to wait a while. And I'm good with that. I mean, again, you know me. I love the SEC. I've covered the SEC for many, many years. I've got history. I've got depth. I've got deep knowledge. I know that league like it's not possible to know it. But I don't always agree with it. And Sankey is obviously for the 12-teamer. Look, that's in their best interest. That just means more SEC at the end of the story. And I think the other people are for the 12-teamer, too. It's just everybody's got things they want. As Sankey put it, everybody's got a Christmas wish list, and they want everything on their list, including the main presents under the Christmas tree, and also the little trinkets that go in the stockings. They want all that. And we'll see where we get with this right now. We'll see if this is an adjudicated, wouldn't be the right term, but properly debated and properly decided when this is said and done. But yeah, they are meeting, and everybody's trying to get theirs right now. I'll cut through it one more time, folks. This isn't about fairness. This isn't about equality. This isn't about being the nice guy. This isn't about good deeds. This is about raw money grabbing. That's all it's ever been about. That's what it's about now. They dress it up in other terminology, just like you hear on the news channels about politics. They dress it up with other words, but it actually means something else, much harsher. This is about the lust for way more TV revenue. That's all it is. It's not about this little old team over here could use a break. Maybe a little fairness over here. That is not what this is. This is money. Raw money. I'm not saying that's wrong either. Might sound critical. That's not what I'm necessarily saying. I'm just telling you that's what this is about. Josh Newberg coming up and Chris Landry, top of hour two. Brian Driscoll, top of hour three. Thursday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning, wrapping up that earlier wreck over in Hermitage, 4300 Blanca, Central Pike, THP out here to remind you what the speed limit is on sections of 540 coming through Kingston Springs. All that traffic flow coming in this morning from Dixon County and Hickman County down I-40 eastbound. Be careful. Oktoberfest at Obergatlinburg. It starts tomorrow. It goes through October 31st. Food, fun, lots of music. Log on today, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Julius's Tree Climbing Service is on the air reminding all Americans to stand tall and show support to the brave men and women of our U.S. military. This proud salute is brought to you by Julius's Tree Climbing Services, serving the area with quality tree service, removal, and pruning, offering military and senior discounts with payment plans also available. Call 615-920-4842. That's 615-920-4842. Julius's Tree Climbing Services, thanking all of our troops, veterans, and first responders.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Harry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Music City Todd approved. The Bill King Show.
Newberg 24/7 Sports covers the Noles. Some may ask, hey Bill, why would he choose to cover the Noles? Well, when he started, they were pretty good. Not so good right now. Berg, how you doing this morning, sir?
You know, when I started, they were actually pretty bad. It was 2010. We didn't really know where Florida State. We were hoping that Jimbo Fisher, this guy named Jimbo Fisher, was going to be the one that turns it around. But remember, the Gators were coming off of their run.
Right.
We didn't know by 2010 that the Gators' run was over yet. But, yeah, it was a quick rise, because by 2011, by 2012, you could tell that the Florida State team was not only headed in the right direction, but destined to meet greatness at some point.
Yeah, I guess 2010 was the end of what they termed the lost decade in Florida State history. Bobby had tried many different angles to rekindle everything, and it wasn't working. It was fading, and it was sad. And you had the whole Jeff Bowden nepotism thing that everybody argued about. And yeah, you're right. But I guess what I should have said when introducing you is the brand, though, was still kind of fresh. It was stale, but it wasn't as distant as it is now, at least the way it feels.
Correct. And the funny thing is, we were 10 years out from a national championship in 2010, 10 or 11 years out
right.
from a national championship in 2010. But it felt like they were closer. Now we're, you know, 7 or 8 years away from a national championship, but it feels like it's been 20.
And, Berg, those rosters 10, 11 years ago and prior never got to the depths of despair like this roster.
No, not even close. Not even close. And because we call it the lost decade.
Right.
But like that decade, Florida State won 2 or 3 ACC championships or more than that. And you know, looking back on the lost decade, we clamored for the lost decade after having a 3-win season and starting this season off 0-3.
Yeah, and you mentioned something. Florida was finishing up their run, but in the moment, you don't know that. You feel like, okay, it's going to continue. And Urban Meyer decided, you know, right in there, he was wavering and all that was going on, but he stayed that extra year. But
and at the same time, I remember the head coach in waiting thing at Texas didn't work out the way it was supposed to.
Right.
And now you have this head coach in waiting thing at FSU that's about to go, and I'm just like, oh, is this going to be the same as what happened at Texas?
Couple things here. You never know when your run's over because, as you mentioned, we didn't know it at the time for Florida. Mm-hmm. But another note is nobody's doing that coaching and waiting thing anymore either, are they?
No. That was crazy. It was a whole thing back then. Like,
right.
There was a couple, and there was other schools talking about it, and there was it was a weird time where they thought that, because I think there were some legends leaving the game at that time, and
right.
There's a new college football system in place with recruiting taking on more of an emphasis and marketing, and I think some of these programs thought, well, we'll just transition old guard to new guard, and we'll call it head coach in waiting, but that built up a lot of pressure. I think there's a lot of undue consequences that came with that, too.
Now, some of them worked. The Jimbo thing worked as the coach in waiting. Muschamp was promised, but Mac would never leave. He would never leave.
It never happened. It fell apart.
He just sat there until he got a call from Florida, which that's a good call to get. I'll give you another one, though. I don't know how many people remember. James Franklin was named the coach in waiting at Maryland under Ralph Regan. And when Ralph got fired, they decided to scrap it, and we're not going to give it to you. And then Vanderbilt called, and he ended up in Nashville. But we had several of those.
Didn't Penn State have a situation? Were they trying to set up a head coach in waiting at the end of – I can't remember. But there was, like – then there were some smaller programs that did it, too. It was just kind of a fad that ran through college football about 10, 15 years ago.
Jim down in Jupiter – says, please ask Berg if Norvell will be showing the coordinators the door soon, and is he going to be calling the offensive play soon?
Well, he is calling the offensive play. And if it does continue to go down this road, then yes, I do think we're going to see a sacrifice coordinator too. You know, like you said, he calls the offensive plays, so I don't know if the offensive coordinator is more of a symbolic firing if that happens than anything. I don't think that's really going to change the philosophy of FSU's offense whatsoever. This is Mike Norvell's offense. He handpicked Kenny Dillingham to be kind of his eyes and ears in the booth during the game. So I don't know how much of an impact the offensive side of the ball would have, but it could be a symbolic thing that they do. But if the defense keeps struggling, I mean, yeah, I could certainly see a change at defensive coordinator with Adam Fuller.
And Wake Forest game, was that the worst showing to date, or where would it rank?
Probably the week before against Jacksonville State is probably worse than that, but it's still bad. We're just dragging on. We joke about the rock bottom, hitting rock bottom. Now we're just dragging on the bottom here. They got to show improvement. Every week is kind of the same at this point. No improvement. Okay. Another embarrassing loss, another record broken. It's just a repeating pattern until they get their head out of their, you know what, and start playing better. And this week, Louisville comes to town. And if you watch the Friday night matchup against UCF, you would know that this is a up and down, it's a streaky Louisville team that's coming off of a big win over UCF. I think they're 2-1 to start the season. Malik Cunningham had a great game against UCF. Malik Cunningham doesn't always play great, but if he plays the way he did against UCF and has chunk plays and gets out of the pocket and creates issues, it's going to be a long night for Florida State. But if they can get pressure on him and they can force him to get uncomfortable, then you'll have a chance to beat him. But, you know, right now Florida State desperately needs this win at home.
Josh Newberg with us. What's the feeling in your Sunshine State about the Gators' most recent matchup with Alabama and a near win?
I think they're celebrating their moral victory right now, continue to from the weekend. Not a lot of people, including Gator fans, expected them to stay in it. So losing by two and having a shot to win, and, you know, hey, if they miss that extra, if they make the extra point and they have a shot to tie the game at the end, it's a whole different conversation. But they didn't win. You know, it's still Alabama. Alabama's going to continue to go on. Maybe Alabama and UF face off again one more time before the season ends. But the Gators got to beat Georgia. They got to, you know, they got Tennessee this weekend. I expect them to roll there. They're, you know, on pace for what kind of the expectations were for the season for the 40 Gators.
Berg, did you unload your CEI stock?
No. Did you?
I never had any. I told you I didn't.
No, I bought more. Yeah, I was in at 70 cents, and I was trying to hold to $2, and then it dipped to like $1.30-some, and I added more, and I'm still waiting for that $2 hit.
I think you'll get it. Now, some people are getting impatient there. It's been hovering around 160. It actually, the last week when you and I talked, it flirted with 174-ish, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I was going to sell between like $182, start scaling out, and it never quite got there, so I didn't get out. But yesterday it dropped down to 143, and I bought more on that dip, and it promptly is back up to 160-something. So
that's pretty good buys in there. That's a pretty good buy. Some of these people on Twitter are claiming they have millions of shares. I don't know if they're lying or what, but
hey, more power to them. As long as we need people to buy, so as long as they're still buying, then
right,
I'm happy.
Josh Newberg,
anything else you're watching today?
I'm sorry.
Any other stocks you're watching today?
No, because right now we're so hot and cold. I mean, we had the bloodletting on Monday, right? That just was it Monday or Tuesday?
Yes, it was Monday.
Yeah, where the S&P got down around 130, and it actually rallied to about minus 70. And they're saying that we've still got some of that left in us. And you know when that happens, it sucks everything down, basically.
You don't have any options running out this week?
I had some yesterday, and I scaled out of BBIG, and they didn't materialize. They didn't hit. So, not really much. Not right now. The chop, I tell you what, the chop is very hard on options because you have the expiration and everything. It's very
and the
difficult.
Swings are violent. Yeah,
right.
You get dangerous.
Right. So, not the since you live over there by the water, not the seas you want to be in a boat on. You know.
No, not the glass waters, no.
Not at all. All right, Berg, we will see you next week, sir.
All right, Bill, talk to you soon.
Josh Newberg, 24/7 Sports, and the plight of the Seminoles, which ain't a good look right now, y'all. Jordan up in West Lafayette says, Bill, coach in waiting at Purdue. Danny Hope was the coach in waiting when Joe Tiller retired, was fired after 4 years. Yeah, I forgot about that one. Is there a current coach in waiting that I'm not thinking of? Because it was a quick fad. For a few years, it was a fad. And it doesn't seem to be what schools are doing anymore. They don't want to get locked into something like that. Georgia Dog checking in this morning says, Bill, Griff is still ticked about Vanderbilt canceling last year's game. He's going to be upset that you didn't put Georgia Vandy in your top five. I agree with Griff. Speaking of that, Rusty will be with us tomorrow. I haven't locked him in time, but he's coming into town. He hit me up over the weekend and wanted to know if we'd be out on the road, and we're not going to be, but we can hook up with him over the phone. Looking forward to that. Rusty Manziel, who is, as you know, he is beyond excellent. Smoke Doctor up in Ohio. Bill, it's a beautiful, misty fall morning in central Ohio. hoping the change in weather will put the Buckeyes back in the groove, even if that means riding the Travion train to the Big Ten Championship and also the college football playoffs. Combs doing less and less D play calling. Yeah, Ohio State is an interesting study right now. They have not found themselves. They are struggling. We've even got people debating the quarterback situation with C.J. Stroud. Now, I'm not sitting here defending him to the death, but I think he's been decent to pretty good. But there's a lot of people wanting to see that jerk, too, meaning jerk the quarterback around and go with some of the others. Kyle McCord, Quinn Ewers, and I was reading, it was a Ryan Day quote, and I don't think there was ever a plan to play him this year, not significantly, but according to Ryan Day, just as far as reps and everything is concerned, he's just not there yet. Now, he's a marvelous talent. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but when you're not even in camp, until when did he get there? Basically when the season started or somewhere around there. They can't allocate the reps for him like you would be able to get prior or like you would be able to get in the spring. Because all reps, once you get into the playing portion, reps for the quarterback and most of the team are allocated for the starters. They just don't allocate reps for the backups, particularly the quarterback, as it applies to getting them ready, so to speak. You're almost put on a shelf. Now that might be a little harsh, but and again, I'm not talking about necessarily every position, but certainly at the quarterback position. And he was talking about that the other day. Now if it got down to it and you had multiple injuries, a la 2014 Buckeyes, then obviously you do what you got to do. But and if they had to play him because of injuries or decimated depth chart or something, then they would scale it down and get him in there. They could make it work. I'm not saying they couldn't, but he's a gifted enough talent to where you could scale it down and go with it and kind of learn on the fly, right? But that's not in the plans right now. Johnny Vegas, Bill, the BCS was not about equity or fairness, and neither is the 14 playoffs. It's always been about the money. Example, Florida beats FAU and SFU and plays three good quarters against Bama, and they are number 11. Auburn beats Akron, and Alabama State loses to Penn State, and they're ranked number 23. Yeah, I mean, I just thought BCS was decided better. The computers were much better than a clown show playoff committee. And that's what we've got right now. The committee concept is the biggest joke ever. And I'm not necessarily saying they've gotten it wrong, but the concept is not solid. The computers were much, much better. And the only reason they don't have the computers is because we used to do it that way. We're not going to do it that way anymore. There's no real reason for it. All right, we'll get another break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's on the increase 65 here at Trinity Lane. All that traffic flow 24 coming in from the Jolton area. It was a minor wreck on 440 westbound at West End about 15 minutes ago. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar, home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Thank you.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no Northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
I'm Bart Durham. I cut my teeth in the legal profession for 3 years as an assistant United States District Attorney. 10 years as a prosecutor changed my view of the law and how it can be used to make people's lives better. I started my own practice, helping injured people fight insurance companies.
I'm Blair Durham. My dad and I want to help. Give us a call at 615-242-9000.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue.
I'm Craig Ladd.
And I'm Coach Bubba Spear.
Listen each Saturday morning at 8 for the 10th season of Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb.
Every Saturday, we will get you up to date on all the scores, shine a spotlight on one of the area's top players and his coach, feature a Prep Legend of the Week, and get you set for the upcoming week.
Prep Football Talk, also brought to you by the U.S. Army, Gary Force Acura, Tim Leeper Roofing, Valentino's Restaurante, Goggin Cold Haul, the Nashville Scene, and Sam's Sports Grill and Sam's Place.
That's every Saturday morning at 8 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
Get closer to Bill King, 615-844-5600.
Chris Landry, top of hour two of the Brilliant Football Mind. If you have any questions for him, hold those. And we'll pile them up when he's with us here in about 20 minutes. Brian Driscoll from SI Sports Illustrated covers Notre Dame, does a really, really good job, and knows them, knows the personnel. They play Wisconsin Soldier Field on Saturday. They are about a 5.5-point favorite. Now, I've not looked in the last day or two at the numbers, how they've moved, but that was steady where that number was. They're getting, what did I just say? They're getting about 5.5 points. Hope that's what I just said. Oh, before we get the call, quick note. Got a message from Michelle. She talked to Wayman last night. He is in rehab. You know that. He's been there for a few days now. And he has done remarkably well since getting the virus and being in the hospital for several weeks. One of the obstacles, once they got his oxygen right and got him feeling better, was just getting him up, because that was exhausting. And standing him up was also very exhausting. And just the energy it took would make him get really, really tired. He walked, according to Michelle, for about 5 feet yesterday. Now, again, put that in perspective. That is good news. And he stood up for a few minutes, and he also was able to sit down in a chair and eat lunch. That is progress. Now, we all take that for granted. What do you mean, Bill? Sit down and eat lunch every day, right? Not in his condition. No, that's a big obstacle. getting him up and moving is a big obstacle, and he's doing it. And he's making progress every day. And that 5 feet is a big 5 feet for him to be up and moving around. Now, that is very, very good news. And that 5 feet will turn into 10 feet, and then it'll turn into more and more and more the way we're going right now. The news is excellent, is the point. And all of your attention to this has absolutely mattered so much. I want to let you know that. It has really mattered, and it makes me feel very good about it. Because there are a few moments, you know, folks, that it was worrisome, and I'm putting that mildly. But his oxygen was plummeting and all that. It was a nerve-wracking, very scary time. So appreciate it all. Patton says, get a call here. And Jody, welcome in.
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Good. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I hadn't talked to you since the back days, back when you were Bill, or Bob, rather.
Yes, sir.
What would stop Stanky from, or the SEC from expanding, going out to 32 and just get the other 16 more blue bloods and then just withdrawing from the NCAA and setting up their own, maybe an NFL-like 8-14 divisions and doing an NFL-type playoff, maybe not quite to that. Maybe they wouldn't have the wild cards, but they could have, do their own 8 and set their own rules up and not have to go by the NCAA and deal with, I know the SEC doesn't like all that. So, and then what would that mean for the rest of the teams in the NCAA?
Well, first of all, there's not many other teams that would be attractive that you could go get. I mean, Ohio State's not coming. Notre Dame's not coming. Southern Cal's not coming. You got the two sexiest teams out there in Texas and Oklahoma. And again, this is about TV revenue. This is about TV money and what the addition of Texas and Oklahoma will bring you. I'll give you an example. It's estimated that because of Texas and Oklahoma, the SEC's yearly intake per school due to TV relationships will go from $45 million currently to maybe $90 million a team. That means Vanderbilt will get a check for $90 million for being in the league and doing absolutely nothing. And if you added X amount of more teams, you're really not at. It's not attractive. It's not sexy. And you'd just be piling up numbers to pile up numbers. Here's the thing. The SEC is already in charge. Everything that's going on, Jody, is led by the SEC. The BCS was led by the SEC and Roy Kramer. The playoffs, when we started in 14, was led by the Southeastern Conference and their former commissioner, Mike Slive. The current idea to go to 12 is led by the SEC, Greg Sankey. Now, there's three others that are with him that privately met all this time, and that's Bob Bowlesby, that is Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame, and that is Craig Thompson from the Mountain West. Everything the SEC does, they're in charge already. And everything they are doing and everything anybody else is doing and wanting is about the additional money. Now, could we eventually get to something like you're describing? I mean, God, in this environment, someday down the road, maybe. But I don't think that's where we're going right now. Are you good? All right. Appreciate the call. Everything that you're watching, y'all, everything you're reading, everything you are hearing about is SEC-led. And everything that ends up being the new model, the new expansion number, will be only agreed upon if the SEC wants to do it. And we're in a snit right now over this. Like I told you, this is like you're in your kindergarten playground. You're picking people for the various kickball teams, and you're in a fight over the selection. That's kind of what we're doing here. It's kindergarten level snits that we are experiencing right now. And everybody's got, as Sankey said, a Christmas wish list that they demand we get all this stuff. And they're sifting through there right now. That's all this is about, y'all. All this is about is what do I get? Let me know what I get out of this. And you know what? That's negotiating. We get another break on this Thursday, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's on the increase 65 here at Trinity Lane. All that traffic flow 24 coming in from the Jolton area. It was a minor wreck on 440 westbound at West End about 15 minutes ago. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar, home of the world famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. Simple Green is perfect for making your auto, RV, cycling, boating, and other sporting equipment look like new. Visit them at simplegreen.com.
NFL Thursday night, the Texans at home against the Panthers. Rookie Davis Mills will start for Houston in place of an injured Tyrod Taylor. The Texans an 8-point underdog at home, the over-under 43. The latest odds for NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald, the current favorite, plus 650. Miles Garrett at plus 700. Chandler Jones at plus 1,000. T.J. Watt at plus 1,100. And Devin White and Nick Bosa each at plus 1,600. The South Point 400 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Kyle Larson, the odds-on favorite, plus 290, followed by Kyle Busch at plus 600, Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, and Martin Truex, each at plus 800, Joey Logano at plus 1,000. For VSiN.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
Prescription products require an online consultation. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Think you might have ED? Not sure? Well, we'd like to let you in on a little secret. ED is common. About 40% of men experience ED by age 40. But the solution is simple. Find it at 4hims.com.
I didn't have to talk to a doctor in person. There was no copay, and the medication was shipped right to my door in discreet packaging.
Hims took care of it, fast and easy. Now our love life is better than ever.
Get access to doctors online who can prescribe you FDA-approved ED medication if appropriate. The same active ingredient as name brands, but 90% cheaper. Skip the waiting rooms and pharmacy lines. Get a free medical consultation and rise to the occasion or your money back. Go to 4hims.com/joy to get your first visit free. No copay required. The only way to get this special offer is to go to 4hims.com/joy. FORHIMS.com/JOY.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Sunshine, highs near 68 degrees. For tonight, clear skies, lows 48. Sunshine for Friday, high 75. Friday night, clear 54. Saturday, sunshine, highs near 77. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
Chris Landry, top of the hour. Kevin in Dublin, Georgia. Bill, have Rusty on early so I can hear him. Other than being a Georgia fan, Rusty is awesome, Bill. Rusty, my goal tomorrow morning is to get him on at 6:20 Central Eastern Time, your time, 7:20. Now, I have not locked that in, but I feel confident. Just knowing Rusty, he's coming to town, he hit me up, and that's really the only slot I've got. I guess I could do it later in an hour or two after Kevin, but Rusty's always good for an early slot. So I'm assuming that'll be locked in. I'll let you know. I'll put that out on Twitter today. Josh up in London, Ohio, except he's not in London, Ohio. He's down here in the South, and he pulled through Nashville yesterday. And the traffic everybody always complains about around here. He says, Bill, I'm currently in Gadsden, Alabama. I've been to Gadsden many times. Love that little town. Home of Danny Ford. I'm just going to say it again. My boy, Danny Ford. Says, Bill, down here is 52 degrees. People are walking around in hoodies, freezing their A double dollar signs off right now. You folks up north, you get a giggle out of that. 52, and we're bundled up down here like we're visiting Santa Claus at the North Pole. That's true. Rod, a Buckeye in Texas. Bill, and this guy's a big Buckeye fan. Oh, and he sent me an email. And Rod, I got that. I won't mention specifics, but says, Bill, history will show that Ewers made a mistake leaving early. Lack of reps will set him back, but he does have a truck, and he's got $1.4 million coming in as well in NIL money. So do you think these guys skipping out, and it's not a big list, so I shouldn't make it sound that way, but those few who have skipped out their senior year to go ahead and get on in there, and in this case, get your NIL money, hey, go for it, dude. You're saying on the field this will stunt their progress. We don't really know yet because we've not seen anybody do this per se. Well, we've seen a few people do it. We saw the Booty Kid do it. Daniels did it at Southern Cal before eventually transferring to Georgia. We've seen a few do it, but not many. Quinn Ewers. Jim and Jupiter, Bill, love that news about Wayman. Yes, yes, I agree. He's walking a little bit, but that is incredible news as opposed to can't get up out of bed. That's a big, I'm telling you, metaphorically speaking, pun intended, that's a big step. Ron up in Ohio, Husker, Ron, says, Bill, going to the Sparty and Husker game Saturday. Martinez playing well, but special teams and penalties cost them both their losses. Going to be a tough place to play. Do the Huskers, have much of a chance? Well, yeah, I mean, a chance, sure. Sparty's playing some good ball right now. Kenneth Walker, their running back, a Tennessee kid, is running up and down the field for them. West Tennessee kid. Kevin in Dublin. Bill, not sure that you noticed, but Jamie Chadwell over at Coastal Carolina has a haircut that looks similar to something my mom would make me mop with when I was little. He also wears that visor that looks like it needs an oil and filter change. I don't know if I've seen him this year. I've watched some of their games, but I don't know if I've noticed the camera panning over to him. Jamie Chadwell. He's working on that resume, I'll tell you that. Just saying. That resume is getting pretty. Jay Cutler's burner account. Bill, Arch Manning update. Lane Kiffin only follows three accounts on his Instagram. One is Matt Corral. One is Ole Miss Football. The other is Arch Manning. Could be a big deal. Need to ask Ole Miss Evie about that. Ole Miss Evie had her birthday yesterday, and so many of you hit her up on social media to give her a happy birthday, which was very nice. And I just communicated with her yesterday about her birthday, just telling her happy birthday. But yes, I will ask her if she's got any insight on the Arch Manning topic. See if she has anything new there. The Arch Manning thing is going to linger. It's going to continue. And I'm for it. I'm good with it. It's a good topic. We'll see where he ends up. I'll tell you what, they panned to him at Georgia, and I know he's a high school junior, so when I say he looks young, well, he is young, Bill. He's a high school junior, but boy, he looks... Now, I think they say he's up around 6'3", and he's well over 200 pounds now, so he's filling out. and he's molding physically into the way you want your quarterbacks to be, the size, the height, the sturdiness of the frame and all that. That's happening with him right now. And you got to remember, all those Manning kids are big. Archie was a big quarterback. He was 6'3", what, 215, whatever they listed him. I mean, this is in the 70s. Peyton is 6'5", Eli is 6'5", Cooper's probably all a 6'3". So this kid's going to have all the measurables you want. Already does, really, but he'll get physically, though, more mature. On the other side, Chris Landry with us. If you have any questions, go ahead and post them. Yeah, now is the time to put them up for Chris Landry. Whatever your beef is, yeah, whatever you're beefing about, whatever team you're down on, maybe you're happy right now. Either way, post them, and I'll get them to Chris here momentarily. Thursday edition. Brian Driscoll, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, top of hour 3. Omni Nashville Hotel.